The Bible says, "Now when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Galatians 4, verse 4. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. Not from Galatians 4, but from Luke chapter 2. We're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew records this event in Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2, and Luke records it in chapter 2 of his book. So we want to welcome each one of you to the broadcast today and hope that you have your Bible ready and encourage you to follow along with us as we read from this very important record today in Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus Christ. Let's begin in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now you may have a note on the word taxed there. You may have a footnote or a marginal reference that says that the word taxed refers to a census or a registering of these Jews. And it does mean that. It was a census or a registration that the emperor ordered in order to tax these Jewish people. And of course, the Jews absolutely resented the idea of having to pay taxes to the Roman government. They objected to how it was being used, and yet they were having to pay these taxes. That's why the publicans had such a bad name among these Jewish people. That's at least one of the reasons why that these Jews resented those tax collectors. But the Bible shows here in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, that there was this registering that was taking place, and it was for the purpose of taxing the Jews, of keeping up with them, and also, some think, for the purpose of drafting for the army. But what we find beginning in verse 2 and 3 is that this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And so they directed these Jews to their own city to be taxed and to be registered. So what we find here is a historical event that Luke records. Now there have always been skeptics who try to find anything in the Bible that is out of harmony, they think, with what history records. Years ago, there were skeptics who said that this census that the Bible records here never took place, and that at least it didn't take place at the time and in the way that the Bible describes. But every time that skeptics have tried to point out some kind of inconsistency in the Bible, they have always been proven to be wrong, and the Bible has always been shown to be right. And the facts have proven the Bible right in this case. History has shown that Luke was right in what he has said and that the skeptics have been wrong. Well, we read in verse 4 that Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, there are two important things there. First of all, Joseph is of the lineage of David. And so Jesus Christ is counted in the descendants of David. The Bible prophesied of that in the Old Testament. The Bible shows in the Old Testament that the Messiah was to be a descendant of David, that he was to be of the tribe of Judah. And we find that being fulfilled right here. The second thing that you notice, of course, is that he is born in the city of Bethlehem. And of course, that was according to Old Testament prophecy. The Bible shows in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the prophet Micah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and that is exactly what we find here. There is no way, folks, that Micah could have guessed about that. There's no way that he could have figured that out. There's no way on his own, by his human wisdom, that he could have guessed when the Messiah and where the Messiah was going to be born. And yet what we find, folks, is that he was indeed born in Bethlehem, just as Micah predicted all those hundreds of years before it actually took place. There is only one explanation for that, and that is the fact that Micah was being guided by the Holy Spirit, that God was speaking through him when he wrote those words in Micah chapter 5. Well, the Bible says that Mary gave birth to Jesus in verses 5 through 7. In verse 7, the scriptures say, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, what we find after this is that there's another miracle that takes place. Now, again, folks, what we're trying to establish here in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 is the fact that God established a setting of miracles so that the people would know that Jesus, the Messiah, had come into the world. God, even before Jesus was born, was working these miracles to provide a setting into which the Messiah came so that people would know that the Messianic age had indeed arrived. And what is this miracle that we're talking about that occurred at the birth of Jesus Christ? Well, it's the appearance of the angel of the Lord to these shepherds, beginning in verse 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Then the angel begins to talk to them even more, and the Bible says that there was a multitude of the heavenly host in verse 13, praising God and saying these words in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Who is this heavenly host here that the Bible talks about in verse 13? Well, that refers to the angels of God. So one angel spoke to these people, and then there was a multitude, a whole host of angels who were praising God. This is what these shepherds saw when Jesus was born. Now, I want you to notice something with me beginning in verse 21. After you read the full record of what happened with these shepherds going down through verse 20, you find in Luke chapter 2 that the Bible begins to talk about how that Mary and Joseph kept the law of Moses in regard to the birth of Jesus Christ. They followed the Old Testament in what it commanded concerning a newborn child. Let's begin here in verse 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." So the Bible says in verse 21 that he was circumcised the 8th day. That is exactly what the law of Moses said in Leviticus chapter 12. So his parents were concerned about keeping the law of Moses. Now that, of course, is what we saw with the birth of John the Baptist, that Zacharias and Elizabeth wanted to keep the law of Moses, and so they had him circumcised on the 8th day as well. But we also find in verse 22 something else. The Bible says here, "And when the days of her purification," that is Mary's purification, "according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." So verse 21 tells us that they circumcised him the 8th day because the law of Moses said it. In verse 22, the Bible tells us about her purification and that this was observed according to the law of Moses. And then in verse 23, we find these words, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And then in verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now, we find out something interesting about Mary and Joseph here. You see, the old law said in Leviticus chapter 12 that they were to bring a lamb as an offering. But if they couldn't bring a lamb, in other words, if they could not afford a lamb, if they were not able to do that, then they were to bring 2 turtles or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And that is in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8. So the Old Testament made provisions for people that were not able to do what others could do. So what we find here in Luke chapter 2, verse 24, is that the Bible says that they were going to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. What does that tell you about Mary and Joseph? It tells you they were not wealthy people. It tells you that they were among the poor people. Now what we find after this is that there are more miracles that are mentioned here. There is more miraculous activity. Again, folks, when you have Bible books being delivered, when you have revelation from God being given to man, and that's what we're going to find here as the New Testament begins. Again, there had been no revelation from God for 400 years. There had been no prophets for 400 years. Now that all that's starting back up again, what do you find that proves that these people are prophets and that God is truly speaking, that it's not just some man that claims to be a prophet of God out here, that God is truly delivering revelation? What we find is the miraculous activity that's recorded in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 that provides this setting into which Jesus came. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, that is the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple." So the Holy Spirit is active here. The Holy Spirit is at work. Not only that, not only do you see the Holy Spirit at work in the life of this man Simeon, but you also find Anna, a prophetess, in verse 36. You see, the Bible sometimes talks about these women who are called prophetesses, and Anna is a prophetess. The Bible talks about her in verse 37 and says that she was a widow of about 84 years. She was about 84 years old, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And when she came in, she gave thanks to the Lord because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." And that's all we know about Jesus until he is 12 years old. We don't have any record in the Bible of what Jesus did and what took place in his life from the time that he is 8 days old until he is 12 years old, except for what we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And beginning in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, we read a very famous story about Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old. This is the only time this is recorded in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at that story tomorrow. We hope that you can tune in at that time, and until then, we hope that you have a great rest of the day.